Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post-show for Friday, November 8th. So much to talk about on tonight's SmackDown. Plenty of developments in the bloodline. We have a new women's U.S. title that is a very, very exciting development for that women's division. And so much more to get into. We're going to give you our laundry list of things that we always ask about. We're going to ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com as well. The Fightful Awards are coming up, and it's subscriber-based only, so you're going to want to subscribe. It's the way that we kind of control a bunch of tribalistic votes and people who are just going to be like Roman Reigns forever or Kenny Omega the GOAT or whatever. Like, they're just going to vote for only certain products. So a fun way to control that environment is we have our subscribers do it. Sean's been taking a lot of input from people in our Fightful Select Discord as well as far as how to approach those Fightful Awards a little bit. With things like for match of the year, what happens if Will Ospreay splits his vote five ways? Because you could take any one of his matches, it feels like, and throw it up as a match of the year candidate. So some things that we're navigating as we're entering our third Fightful Awards. Sponsorship is open for those as well. $100 pop. You get a ton of exposure out of that. You get 35,000 plus views is what we had last year. Our numbers have grown significantly since then. Also, Denise Salcedo's stream is involved in that. We have about 500,000. We're coming up on that 200,000 follower mark on the Fightful account. Sean is well over 300,000. So you get special call outs with that, an on air read of 30 to 90 seconds, and inclusions in our YouTube descriptions and our audio distribution descriptions. Plenty, plenty of love to be had there. So subscribe to Fightful Select. In addition to scoops, you get all of that. But if you were following, you would have known about that U.S. women's title a little sooner than everyone else because we had that posted up there for you. So much value on FightfulSelect.com and more. We're over 118,000 subs here on YouTube as well. You guys are showing out with support for us. We appreciate it so much. It is our lifeblood. So we are going to dig into this SmackDown, but get in those super chats. Get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. We're going to dig in. And who better to dig in with than Alex Cardoza? Alex, how we doing?
I'm always digging. It's one way or another. I am. Back from South Carolina, feeling good, feeling refreshed.
Love that for you.
Feeling like something's happened this past week. Sure. We're here. It's Friday. We're together. And I feel like I should just let my clavicles out on screen.
You know what? It's the weekend.
Freaking
those weekend clavs out, man. That's what we're here to do.
Nice freaking sunbathed clavs. I mean,
I love that for you. it is November 8th. I won't be streaming with you on Veterans Day, so I just wanted to thank you in advance for your service and to all the veterans that are out there. I know we have some that watch the show, probably partly because we have a veteran with us, but Veterans Day is a few days away, but I won't get a chance to wish you a happy Veterans Day face-to-face on camera, I wanted to take that moment and do that now.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Of course. Of course. But we've got SmackDown to dig into. We're going to start with kind of the most noteworthy stuff first that isn't necessarily like storyline driven. We're going to talk about this women's U.S. title. Alex, I think you and I were on the same page of this episode felt a little stilted. You had one thing that was taking up so much oxygen, and we're going to dig into that. But some positive developments overall for SmackDown. We do have rumors. I don't think confirmed by Sean yet, so if you are a Fightful subscriber that trusts our news, this isn't coming from us, but it sounds like SmackDown is going to be moving to 3 hours.
Mm.
So this is the place to add a women's mid-card title if you're going to do it. You're probably going to see NXT draft picks come up sooner than later. You're probably going to see talent get really, really pumped up on the women's side here on SmackDown. Maybe some steals from Raw, though Raw honestly feels a little bit thinner right now, but there's going to be more breathing room for women's wrestling on the 3-hour show than the 2-hour show on Raw, if that's the way that this goes. Very excited about this women's mid-card title. I need Chelsea Green to be one of the earlier holders of it. Like, she just has earned it so, so much, but there's a lot of fun talent possibilities with that. What did you think kind of overall? I know you were not feeling so hot on this episode of SmackDown, but this, a very positive takeaway.
It is. In a sense, right? Because we're going to be able to get someone who's going to be highlighted by the title. But I'm hoping and praying that this title does not get treated like the tag titles for the women. I'm a little bit on the fence on how this will go. We're all in the honeymoon phase right now of this title coming out and being introduced and how they're going to, you know, who it will be put on. But where are we going to be 6 months to a year from now?
Yeah.
That's where I want to see, because the tag titles for the women was something that I was extremely excited about. And here we are a couple of years later, and it's, even though it's on Bianca and Jade, it's still, to me, it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing with this? And that's the only thing I am a little bit scared of with this. But we will
see. I think that's a legitimate concern, because we haven't seen the booking support the titles in the past, right? We do have a new regime that'll hopefully treat it with a little bit more respect. We know Triple H is capable of booking women's wrestling. We saw it in NXT, right? Yes. But there have been some really, really big booking gaps, mostly on Raw. I feel like SmackDown, surprisingly, that picture has been much more fresh with the way that they're integrating talent. The playbook is not as stale. Liv Morgan, it's like my kingdom for a challenger not named Rhea Ripley over there. Like, it's been rough. They had to throw together that four pack to give it to Io. But like, man, they've got some work to do on the Raw side. So we will see, but I'm with you. The booking needs to follow. This is a great development if it does, but with you there. And I'm very excited about what this could do. A couple of other concerns I have, and I don't want to be so negative on something that's an overwhelmingly positive development for SmackDown.
Right.
But a couple of things. I cover NXT, right? And I see what the women's division down there is doing with the former Delta, now Zarya. I see Jordynne Grace walking into NXT, in and out of storylines until presumably her TNA contract is up. That's not a report. I'm just assuming. I think it's at the end of the year. The handwriting's on the wall. But Roxanne is there. Julia is there. Steph Acker is there. Becker, I think. And I see what's going on there. And my concern is, like, they just arrived in NXT. If we're doing this much women's wrestling on the main roster, I don't want the same thing that happens around draft time, where that brand just gets bled dry from stuff like that. That has happened with the draft, where we saw and we continue to see those call-ups kind of start to really hurt the NXT brand, and the women's division is one of their strengths. In fact, the men's division could use some help. I was preaching on there on Tuesday about, what are we doing with Eddie Thorpe? What are we doing with Duke Hudson? That men's title needs some contenders. Yeah. So I don't want NXT to get hurt. And I also felt like I was a little underwhelmed with the way that they presented the title. I think there's a happy medium between Triple H coming out for 10 minutes and Nick Aldis doing a quick video promo in the back. And I would like it to be live. I would like it to be shorter. It would be really nice if there was a women's legend that was at least co-presenting this title, or maybe leading the charge. I completely get that Nick Aldis is the GM of the show. He should certainly be involved in the way that we're presenting this title. But, like, they have legends walking around backstage, probably right now. Molly Holly's right there, right? Like, it would be really, really nice if they were able to incorporate women's wrestling legacy on WWE into this. Like, I think that would be really, really a huge step in the right direction for pulling women's wrestling forward, because there was a while that some very talented wrestlers that were women did not get treated super well. It would be nice if we started to acknowledge the people that pushed this forward for the women to get to this point. So that's just me. But overwhelmingly, I know that was a little negative and nitpicky, but I'm very excited for what this could mean. I'm very intrigued about who they put it on first. So some good stuff there. Any other thoughts around this women's title?
No,
anybody that you want to see hold it off the bat, like any top three women that you're like, I want them.
I know Chelsea's name has been running around, but you would have to then, at this point, then something's going to have to happen with Piper, right?
Yes,
so I think so. Did they mention that anything, like how they were going to put it together, or was he just touting that everyone will?
There wasn't like a tournament announced or anything like that yet that I heard. No,
I think that's probably in my opinion, it should go. And if that's the case, then you will see maybe Piper versus Chelsea for this, right? Like where you kind of see them break up a little bit here and see where they go. Other than that, I mean, no one, I'm not saying this in a bad way, man, but no one in the women's division sticks out right now to me because it is it just hasn't, outside of Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, you know.
What I don't want is Charlotte Flair to come back and be the inaugural holder. I'm nervous they'll do that. But the chat saying Mee Chin, which is a great shout. Naomi would be a really nice. We got to get her some wins, though. A tournament would be a good way to do that.
Yes.
But it'll hopefully shake up this part of the card. Candice LeRae, I would love to see her start to move towards feeling more important. She feels pretty entrenched in the women's world title picture right now, but I think there's a lot of possibilities. There's tons in NXT. I think Roxanne Perez is ready to move up sooner than later. That's a possibility. But the other
go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say the other thing to kind of close the loop on this is, are we still doing 5-match cards? Because you're now talking about 2 women's titles at the world level, this mid-card women's title, and the tag titles. If we're doing 5-match cards, you're going to be leaving 3 of the 4 women's titles off most of yours other than the big ones. So I also am intrigued to see. I'm assuming this title will float brands because I don't think they're going to do like a U.S. and an Intercontinental title. Mm. I'm assuming this one will float brands. So intrigued to see how that gets booked out as well. But I cut you off. You were going to say something.
No, all those names that you've mentioned are great, except for the fact that, you know, and I'm not trying to harp or be negative, but I haven't seen them do anything like outside of just these, matches that they've been kind of thrown together. For me, again, like if you're going to be putting the level of excitement and trust and love into this title, and it's going to be held to a certain prestige, right? Then you got to have women that have had the fights and the storylines and the
credibility
credibility towards that prestigeness that you're about to give, right? So that's the only issue. Again, very excited for it. I'm just kind of trying to put the pieces together. And who am I? I'm just, say I don't wrestle. These women could probably power
Cardoza,
me,
okay?
And I would love it. It would hurt.
There are people talking about contenders on the Raw side for this, Lyra or Kyrie. Man, the Raw world title picture is so poached. I think it's got to come from SmackDown. An NXT call-up is such a fun way to make someone immediately feel so important. And Roxanne, who is probably the closest to being called up right now, she has the work rate for that. Like, she's like the prodigy as her nickname. She just straight up is. Like, she's unreal and she can work with anybody. So that would be a fun way to go. But let's dig into this episode of SmackDown, guys. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We've got a lot to talk about. The King Ellie Show, I think a newer chatter. Thank you so much for tuning in and chatting with us. Also, Cole said both shows can fight for it. So maybe you do a Raw tournament and a SmackDown tournament and then go head-to-head. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that. It'd be a good talent utilization call there. Bad Robot with a chat saying, hello, favorite post show. Always so great.
Always.
Already the most I've smiled all week. Love to you both. We love you so much, too. We've been trying to make this a space where people can put down the heaviness of certain things going on in the world and hang out here. And certainly the Bad Robot, who is actually the kindest Rosie from the Jetsons that you'll ever find. One of the goat robots. Saying, I've downloaded Blue Sky Threads Letterboxd. Am I good? Chelsea needs to win that belt first for the history books. I think a Chelsea Green face turn out of that could really, really work. Alex and I are both on Blue Sky Threads, by the way. If you want to hang out with us there, these little birdies could probably get changed to several different icons at this point. But we thank you so much for hanging out with us, Bad Robot. I'm glad that we're putting some smiles on some faces today, and we'll saying 42 years old, Randy taking that back spot. They must really love KO to bring that back. We're going to talk about all of that and more in a minute, but let's start here at the top. Now, most of my issues with SmackDown tonight were efficiency-based. Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. Matches and how much things were taking up oxygen. And I'm going to sound like such an old cranky lady on this, so I apologize, but...
You old cranky lady.
I am at this point. I think I've earned it, especially this week. But we get 10 minutes of entrances up front, right? Which I'm kind of used to. And we have this segment. And I'm on this. There's something going on across all of wrestling right now for me, and it's probably just because I watch so damn much of it, where I feel like the intention of a quote-unquote promo is getting lost. I talked about this on ROH a little bit yesterday, too. Point of a promo is to promote a match, right? Mm-hmm. So there's speaking segments and there's promos, and I'm going to try and start delineating what I'm talking about, because we spent way too much time at the beginning of the show building from a speaking segment to another speaking segment that I know what's coming, right? We mm-hmm. know what's coming with Survivor Series, but you spent like 40 minutes of your show today building. It's a 2-hour show and you throw in commercials. Like what, 60% of the show was these guys talking at each other? It closed with a very, very big moment. Don't get me wrong, but I think we could have gotten there a lot faster, but we have Sami Zayn coming out to the ring. He is with the OG bloodline out here, and he says he isn't just here because Jey Uso, but at Crown Jewel, he got taken back to a moment in time that he loved, the moment in time that he was in, and he knows that everybody that's in the ring with him currently wants to go back to that time too. The crowd, of course, loves this. Sami Zayn is one of the best faces in wrestling. This is one of the most successful angles that they've had literally in decades, right? And he says the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And he thinks that Roman loves Sammy. And I agree. I agree. But he catches Roman smirking legitimately. And he's like, I can see you smirking. That's not indifference. And Sami Zayn has an ability to make Roman Reigns crack in ways that other wrestlers cannot, which I appreciate. But Sammy essentially says if fighting side by side is what Roman wants, he'll do it, but Sammy needs to apologize. And Roman says, you want me to apologize to you? That ain't happening. And he said, no. I want you to apologize to Jey. And Roman says he does apologize for wasting Jey's time on Sami Zayn. He's not even a part of the bloodline. He doesn't even know why he was.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
The part of this, he ends up calling out Solo Sikoa, saying, let's settle this. And Jacob Fatu responds on behalf of Solo and says, man, Solo works on his own time. You'll get yours. Now, this was all well and good, except for the fact that it was so long. And the other thing is, you cannot have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens backstage on a show that also has the bloodline and not have them interact about this like throughout the show, especially with Kevin Owens as a heel right now and Sami Zayn as a face. Like, Kevin Owens should be calling him a sucker and all these things. And then he looks like a bigger sucker in the main event, right? So like, but Kevin Owens is a heel. He should be making Sami seem pathetic with this, and it would get him so much heat. But I don't really have a problem with this, except for the fact that it was the first 20 minutes of the episode to set up some really, really basic stuff. Like, this did not need to go that long, but Jay does say that Sammy has a point. Roman wants to know why he cares what Sammy has to say. And Jay says, don't talk to me like I'm some kind of chump. We already had this conversation. And there's some tension with Jimmy backstage as well. So very long through line through this episode. Really took up a lot of oxygen on here. But it wasn't that bad. It was just that long.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, from the entrances to the overcapping everything, recapping everything every single time. Like we saw the show, we saw Crown Jewel. If anyone needs to
so
know,
so many recaps.
I mean, if anyone needs to know what happened, we all have the Peacock app. I mean, just all you have to do is come on. Don't insult your audience. Just let them know. If you guys missed it, it's on the Peacock app. You know what I'm saying? Go check it out. Right now, we're going to be talking to Solo, who did win his mask. Let's get right into it. Boom. That's half an hour already added back to your show, my friends.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I work with someone who has written television for a wrestling company before. And
me too.
I don't drop names around here. Okay, friends?
You're constantly dropping names.
But yeah, I agree with you.
Just, obviously, you mean Vince Russo. Clearly, that's who you're talking about when you say you work with someone that...
There's certain things that I don't put out in public. Kate, I've said it so many times. You just went out there and just threw my business. Like it was...
Wrestling with Freddie as hosted by Vince Russo, obviously, right? That's what
it's he just threw it at the wall, like trying to figure out if the spaghetti's done or not.
I'm with you. There was efficiency was my main critique of the episode. Like the content was fine. It was just the time being allotted to stuff. But
yeah, I'm with you.
Finally, we get to our first match of the night, and it's with Bayley and Candice LeRae. Some really good work. It's so great to see Candice here. My main question around this was going to be, I wonder how they explain away Indy Hartwell, and they just chose not to. Like, they just, she never happened. She was never here. She was a figment of our imaginations, and what a beautiful imagination I have, because I love Indy Hartwell. But we have Bayley getting the win here. I like her winning with the Hurricane Rana in this instead of the Rose Plant. This is good. A lot of work from Candice LeRae on the neck, which I thought was good. Like she has such a great mix of wrestling weapons in her arsenal. And she has been a victim of like 3-minute matches so many times we never get to see them. So
yeah,
this match at least had some length to it. I got to see the Candice LeRae I know and love a little bit here, but some good stuff. She does fake a knee injury for a failed roll-up attempt. And then Bayley hits that Hurricane Rana because she saw it coming. I like that Bayley was smart. I don't love that fake injuries are like a routine thing for Candice LeRae because people are going to stop falling for them. I like cutting corners for a heel, of course, but they made her look so dumb the past 2 weeks that like this was better, but still not great. I would prefer she have some intelligence and some caginess to her. Like that, that feels like the Candice LeRae I know, but overall a good match. This is something you're going to need to do. You're going to need more women's wrestling if we're going to have this mid-card title on. And Candice LeRae, one of the best in the world, and been not used great for a while now, but liked what we got out of this match. What did you think of this?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I like seeing Candice on TV. Again, I think I've said this before a couple weeks in a row now. With Bayley, I'm a little bit lost with what Bayley is doing, who she is. Like I've lost the focus on who and what Bayley is right now. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me and I'm a moron and I'm not just keeping up with certain things.
No, I think she is very, I would be shocked if she wasn't a first contender for that mid-card title. I don't think she's an inaugural champion, but right. Like if Roxanne comes up from NXT, I could see her facing her. If Chelsea has it, that could be actually a very fun feud with Bayley's
Glad you brought that up, because for the fact that, you know, we are heading into a new, you know, era here, we're like a month away from every, you know, wrestling just being completely crazy in the streaming world, right? So if they are adding a third hour and you are going to be showcasing more women, and you know, if you're going to bring in a Roxanne Perez, someone from NXT to actually win it, like let's just say that does happen, they're putting your faith in the future, which is great. you know? So, but yeah, but the, I think the match was, to get back to it, was sure. great. Again, I need to see more of Candace on TV, a little more meaningful matches, as opposed to just, hey, let's just put her out there and see what we can do. And it's hard because I know you only got 2 hours right now. And I know that you're trying to build this new belt for a new legacy for it. So I don't know, man. At the end of the day, you know, I love my women's wrestling.
Hell yeah.
I love me some women. Well, I'm just saying, like, I've been a huge fan of wrestling, women wrestling, since you guys have met me here on Fightful. So,
you know, I also appreciated with this match, no distraction finishes,
no distractions
during the match. We get shenanigans later, but it was so nice just to have a clean women's match, and we don't have enough of those of late. So, some good stuff there. Some good stuff there. But we're going to keep moving along. We got some love from Meat Normus coming in saying, hello, BCC and SGS. I'm eating a Cobb salad. Let's crank. Wow, a Cobb salad. Look at you getting your veggies salad. In, Meat Normus. Jade and Bianca will eventually feud over the U.S. title while coexisting as tag champs till Mania. That's an interesting thought. If Jade and Bianca are going to get in this picture,
yeah.
And it's going to be maybe what splits them up. That's a little bit too dominating for me, and I feel like you're still maybe watering down the tag title picture, but it is an efficient use of TV time for a two-hour show. Moving to 3 hours, I like to see them spread out the wealth a little bit, but what do you think of that? That's a really good way to make it feel very important because Jade and Bianca are two absolute stars, but...
Right, and so I haven't even thought about that because of the fact that they're holding the tag titles, right? So even those two, it'll be kind of hard to split them up. So the Piper and Chelsea thing makes more sense because there's nothing there to hold them together besides their relationship, right? But when you're fighting for a title, you shake hands and you say, hey, this is what we're going for. We're going to fight. With the tag champions, that'll make them look really silly, you know? And you know, then... they're kind of just, it'll look like you right now dropping stuff live on camera and us hearing it in our headsets. And
like, my computer slid off its little mount, unfortunately.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, if you're going to input these two in a way, then yes. But I also see these two going for the world title at some point. You know, for the women's title, right? I think
that's very possible, yeah.
Because they are that, you know, cool. I was going to say what Jade usually says, but I don't want to call him the B-word.
I appreciate that. That's respectful.
I'm very respectful. Damn it.
I do think it's very possible you see a Bianca and Charlotte title feud at or around Mania. I think it's very possible that is what causes a turn. Even if they're not tag champs at the time, I think Jade could get jealous and have a nice turn out of that. So we'll see. We'll see what's to come, but I am cautiously optimistic about that mid-card title, so we will see. But get in those super chats. Get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com, and please leave a thumbs up on this video. More of you are watching now than are normally watching at the beginning of the show, so a reminder to subscribe to Fightful Select. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I'll give the old boss a plug, too. He was on DraftKings YouTube yesterday doing live reactions of the Bengals game. It was a heartbreaking game to be a Bengals fan. So we've seen Sean in post-show form lose his mind. I was doing the ROH show, but I can't imagine it wasn't extremely entertaining to watch him in real time. Because if you think about Sean, like, watching Shelton Benjamin and Swerve and literally hosing himself down with water and getting lotion out. Like, that's him after he's processed his emotions. You can go to the DraftKings YouTube or his YouTube at Common Bengals W, and you can watch him lose his mind at the end of that game, I'm sure. So show some love over there. Very cool that he got to do a DraftKings takeover on their YouTube channel. But
yeah.
We are going to move along. Sean does no ball. He knows his Bengals. My Steelers were catching some strays on this stream, which I didn't like about that. Some schedule strength knocks and some underestimating my dear Russell Wilson, which I will not be having. But the Bengals season is basically cooked, so let him get his wins where he can. You know what I mean? But
we're going to play them.
That's going to be...
And the Cowboys play them as the special Springfield game. So if you guys are watching it, there's going to be a special... Okay. I think it's on Disney Plus. They're going to have it'll be done on Springfield, like in the graphics of The Simpsons, the Cowboys versus the Bengals. Yeah, so the whole game will be live there as well. And it'll be like the Simpsons playing the football game. I might just watch it there because we suck too. So
that'll be a good one to make it entertaining. That'll be a good one way to make that game have some life to it. But we're moving along here on our SmackDown review. We're going to talk about this DIY segment and this squash that followed. You have DIY. They're trying to work their way back to Motor City Machine Guns here. And Tommaso Ciampa is pissed that Johnny Gargano is nice. And I'm like, dude, you've known him for a long time. Johnny Gargano is just a nice guy, okay? Yeah. But he's sick of the attitude. He wants the rematch that they never got for those titles. He's getting them fired up. And I like this. I think I love them as a tag team, but I think there is value in them both working in the singles picture, like Johnny Gargano in that U.S. title picture, something that could be really, really great. Ciampa, you can put anywhere, man. Ciampa versus Cody Rhodes, like heel Ciampa versus Cody Rhodes all day, please. Like, I would love that. So this is one that I don't mind tag teams splitting up when it feels like two guys that have singles value and they're kind of stalemated, right? They've run their course. They're not going to be in that tag title picture for a little bit. So
yeah,
I don't hate that, but they then squash pretty deadly. Little dissension here is Johnny Gargano gets blown off by Ciampa, who goes for the fairy tale ending, but you can see Gargano trying to tag in there. So a nice little piece of storytelling in like a 90-second match, basically, but I kind of like this development for DIY. I don't normally love angles like this, but for DIY, I feel like it works right now. What do you think about what we saw today?
I want a fiery piss and vinegar team in DIY. I need that.
Sure.
I don't want to see someone turning on each other, though. We've seen that 300 times already. So what I would like to see is for them to get a little bit of anger behind them. I want to see them get upset. They've been played. You know, they're an afterthought. Get in there. You had a team who's 400 years old come in, win the titles on their first night. Like, why wouldn't you be upset about that? I would. I would 100% be like, dude, I've been here since 2015. These guys just got here and you give them the belt like that? You know, like
on Ciampa's side in this. You're saying, let's get fired up.
Yes. I want him to grab his, his crutches and just beat the crap out of everyone. Like, just bring them back. Be like, look what I still have from 4 years ago, you know, and just kind of go buck wild on everyone. It's just me, dude. You know why? Because we have, unfortunately for me, I'm looking at the WWE tag team roster. There's not Theory and Waller just are horrible right now. Like, you're just using them as pawns. So get a real heel team out there. If you make these two angry at the world, why not? I think it'll be fun.
It Try does feel new. Like the only team with that like kind of breed of anger is the Bloodline, and that's going to be hopefully something that they're not around for a while. So I'm with you. I wouldn't hate them staying together and being around to do that. That's certainly not a bad call.
And it's crazy that you say the Bloodline, because I don't even put them in this title picture because, you know, yeah, they held the titles and then, you know, they're just back to being, you know, a group. Yes. And in my brain, I don't even what are the names from the Final Testament? The two big dudes. Even
AOP.
AOP. Like, you have these two humongous, insane men that should be running like the juggernaut through everyone. And we're playing Firefly Funhouse. Like, come on, man. Like, let's do something.
Yeah, it's tricky. And on that side of things, too, right, you have the War Raiders just came back. So you kind of have like a copied and pasted template. I would have liked to have seen the War Raiders show up on SmackDown instead. You could use that around these parts. But even things like, Giovanni Vinci, they had him come on, get squashed, and we haven't seen him in weeks. So it's there's there's still some roster efficiency stuff that they're going to have to work on if they're going to get to 3 hours, especially. So,
oh my God, we are going to be so toasted here.
I'm intrigued to see what happens to the talent pool. I'm intrigued to see who gets signed. I'm intrigued to see who gets called up from NXT. I'm intrigued to see who lands on what brands, because it's going to look different if this is the 3 hour show, but the other show is getting paid $1 billion a year. Right.
So yes, true.
So there you go. But guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We are already halfway through this episode. About so much more to talk about, though, with this bloodline stuff and this Randy Orton Kevin Owens non match. Now they were scheduled for a match in Saudi Arabia for Crown Jewel. Did not happen. And here comes Randy Orton full steam ahead, super, super over with the crowd, which is so much fun. And he's on a warpath for Kevin Owens after the beatdown that Kevin Owens gave him. Well, Kevin Owens comes out and he hits him with a pile driver. And you have Michael Cole saying, there's a reason that move was banned, because Randy Orton is selling the hell out of this. Like, I thought it was kind of corny, but Randy Orton was getting me back real, real hard. Like, he really, really, really sold this. He gets stretchered out, and who's in the ambulance with him but Cody Rhodes? Of course. Everybody's best friend.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I have to give credit to Alex Pulaski for this one, because I had this thought too, but I thought I was just missing something.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very personal feud, and I like how personal it's gotten. I like when it feels like two guys want to beat the hell out of each other. I'm an Eddie Kingston fan, for God's sake. I like it when it feels like two dudes want to fight.
Yeah.
But why it got this personal isn't in balance with how personal it's gotten. Like, he just kind of turned on him and hit him on the head. And now we are in like a blood feud. So
I know,
like, and loosely they were friends with Cody Rhodes and each other. So there just wasn't, and Kevin Owens, especially with his promos, and Orton's been great too, but Kevin Owens will make you feel like everything is personal, but what he's been given to say hasn't really driven the point home of why these guys want to K each other. Like, they are at each other's throats in the most violent ways. This is not to win anything special. There's not a title on the line. This is not a gentleman's feud about how great they are at professional wrestling. Like, this is violent.
Yes.
So why it's gotten that violent doesn't really feel proportionate, but I think this is fun. This particular episode could have used some more in-ring on it, but Cody, of course, climbing in the ambulance was... This is not the most efficient use of your champion, I don't think. But Randy sold the hell out of it. Not my favorite way to go about business, but if this is the way you're choosing to go about business, they knocked it out of the park with what they did, what the performers did on the show, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they really, like, I mean, they went in.
They did.
And I think they've been trying that a lot more. These segments like this, whether they're backstage or, you know, in the parking lot, like we saw with Bronson Reed and Seth, or Bronson Reed and what's his name, the Monster Among Men, Braun Strowman,
yeah.
So like, it's cool to see that they're trying different things and different avenues. I mean, where does it go? Where is this going? How pissed off is he? Why is he so pissed off?
That's a little bit tricky.
So is this a way to get Randy away for a while? Does he come back? You know, like,
this is to set up a rematch with Kevin and Cody, right? Like,
do we have a three-way, a Survivor now?
Eventually, I'm thinking we get there, but
yeah,
I feel like this was Cody showing up to be Randy's friend, even when Randy was questioning his loyalty, and you had a face-on-face match with Cody and Kevin the first time around. I think this is a way to do this now as a proper face and heel run back.
Do you feel like perhaps, like, we've just seen this so many times from Kevin Owens? Like, it feels like he just charges up like a Super Saiyan and always goes after his friend, right? We've seen it done a couple times with Sami Zayn. We've seen it done a couple times in different avenues where he kind of just, like, loses it and just goes berserk, right? That's Kevin Owens. That's good old Kevin Owens. Don't trust him and don't get too close, because he's gonna He might be looking for something else and just turn on you. That's my personal opinion. I wanted to get yours. Like, that's how I feel. Like, in the beginning, I felt like, oh, here we go again. But then I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. Like, you know, he spiked them, and like, where are we going with this? Bam, sure. Move for the last 60 years. Like, what are we doing? You know?
You know, from a product perspective, they kind of need a heel like this because yeah. Roman is super babyface. The other heels on your show are wrapped up in that angle. So you're not having anybody built to challenge Cody Rhodes. They're mm-hmm. trying to not deplete that mid-card picture as well, I think, and let them cook a little bit more there. So yeah. I feel like Kevin Owens is like that in case of emergency break glass guy, and what they needed at the time was heels. I prefer Kevin Owens working as a heel, so I like this. I appreciate that he's always justified in why he does it, and I appreciate when he turns face, he always acknowledges that he was a little out of sorts there. It cracks me up, to be honest. He's the only person who, for the decade and a half of his WWE career or whatever, has been like, I'm sorry. All right, I know I screwed up. Like, he always does. But this I like because I don't need to go overkill with justified heel turns. Like, Drew's was great. But Kevin Owens pointing out that Cody was kind of a bad friend, I thought was actually really good. Yeah. And so yeah. I like this one because I'm in his boat a little bit more, but I am also just a Kevin Owens stan account at this point. I love sure. him so much. So,
yeah. I mean, if we're going to make him into a power heel, then it has to be a long run as a power heel. Because we saw Roman's be very long and very effective with what he was doing. Now, mind you, he did have a group around him, so it made things quadruple. He had sure. someone like he had a mouthpiece with him that helped him so much in you know, God, I forgot his name, the wise man. So
Paul Heyman.
Yeah, Paul Heyman. So like with Kevin Owens, if he's going to go rogue and go crazy, this has to be something that he sticks to and kind of just like, we don't see that soft side of Kevin Owens come out where he's like, well, you know, I had to do it because I was pissed at you, but I'll give you a hug. We can go have a beer, you know?
No, an extended heel run would be good for him. I also wish there was a way for him to, like, have a mid-card title and make some of these younger guys that are coming up. It would make me happy. It would make me happy.
Bring back the 24/7.
Well, no. you know what, though? I will say, it's like, it's tough because we know Cody isn't losing in the stretch of the year. Like, he's not going to lose at Survivor Series. So who's the best guy that can lose believably on the roster? It's probably Kevin Owens.
And it'll add to his pissed offness.
It will add to his pissed offness. You're right. I like that.
That's not I don't even know if that's a word, friends. It is. But I'm Puerto Rican and I make stuff up every day, okay?
It's so a word,
yeah.
Speaking of a word... Oh. How about a word from our sponsor at BetOnline.ag, huh?
God, I'm good at this.
My God, if you want to bet on wrestling, and I know it sucks that you can't, but what? Yes, you can. You can go to BetOnline.ag and you can make $175 off of Masha Slamovich beating Jordynne Grace at TNA Impact. You can bet on pretty much any PLE or pay-per-view that's coming up. This is the season, man. And BetOnline.ag. Best place to do it.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Hell yeah, you can bet which clav I'm going to show first. Is it the left? Is it the right? Maybe.
I don't think that's one of the prop bets, unfortunately. That's a shame. I wish it was. But BetOnline.ag, great partner of ours. We haven't had any underdog lock picks in a while. Things have been a little bit too predictable or a little bit too unsure for us to guide you. But we occasionally have them, and you guys have told us that you make money off of them. So check out Fightful for more like guidance in those picks a little bit. You can get our thoughts and analysis on them, but go to BetOnline.ag and bet on wrestling as well as everything else, as well as other sports. But we are going to keep moving along, guys. Get in those super chats and humper chats. We've got this backstage with Candice LeRae, who's muttering to herself after her loss a little bit, and Tiffany just coming up to mock her. And Nia comes in and asks Tiffany if she got the job done as far as getting the match set. And Candice says that if she was at Crown Jewel, she would have made everything work out. Would be more convincing if she hadn't lost literally like a half hour earlier in this episode. Not the best on that, but this kind of custody battle for Nia Jax's right-hand woman continues, and we do get this match with Jade and Bianca versus Nia and Tiffy. Jade leveling Nia Jax on the outside with a super kick, and Bianca getting the KOD on Tiffany Stratton for the win. There's some interference, though, in this, as Tiffany is yelling at Candice LeRae, but Naomi coming in to attack her anyway, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's how they're choosing to set up this match. I am very tired of distractions and finishes that are not clean. This had a clean finish, but distractions in the middle of it, it just makes your wrestlers look stupid when you go to the well this much. Like, they should not be distracted by somebody's presence at ringside for them simply existing this often, but decent enough match, not a surprise. You got the tag champs retaining here. This furthers dissension between Tiffany and Nia. This is good. Like, I like when stories are executed through in-ring competition. I'm an in-ring gal. I like in-ring storytelling. I had no problem with this. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I think it was perfectly done. You got to, again, you're building these women for something bigger, right? I sound like a very negative person today. I don't like this, but I'm not sounding good because I'm finding a solution for everything that I'm saying. So it's not a negative. It is me finding a solution for what I feel should have changed. I feel like Bianca and Jade could be utilized a lot better if they were actually fighting someone that doesn't have a title already.
Sure.
You know, and another one who has a briefcase that could potentially lead to a title. Could we utilize Bianca and Jay to kind of like create a feud? I come from the old school. So I saw the Hart Foundation. I saw the Bulldogs. I saw all these teams come up and have these incredible feuds with other tag teams. And anytime they weren't fighting each other and they were kind of just doing their thing, and every time they came back to fight each other, it was special. You were sitting there, and I feel like we've lost that a lot here with the tag team division. So I would love for the women to have that. And I think that today we kind of lost that a little bit. Like, I understand the whole Tiffany Nia thing, but like, can we just take Bianca and Jade and like really supercharge them to create this super like tag team division for the women?
Well, you're also right in that you have two title pictures, right? And they're facing each other on the show. Candice and Bayley having had a match as well makes that a little bit easier to digest. If there was only one women's match, if we had 40 minutes of this bloodline stuff, I would have been going off. But at the same time, I look at AEW and we had 4.5 minutes of women's wrestling on Wednesday, right? A good 4.5 minutes was probably, my guess is, a tentative Penelope Ford. She's been out for 2 years. So coming back, you probably want a bit of a shorter match.
Yeah.
But screen time is something that I pay careful attention to as a fan and proponent of women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. So having that Candice and Bayley match, which was like over 8 minutes, I think, is still a healthy sign for the women's division. But you're right in that the most important women's matches on the show were kind of burned on each other here, or kind of burned on each other. So I am with you on that, but we're moving along here to the Motor City Machine Guns, your tag team champions, who face A Town Down Under.
They're, I know,
good in the ring. The crowd could not have cared less about this by the end. And it's not because they're not excited about Motor City Machine Guns. They have got to figure out what to do with A Town Down Under. and either making them feel important again or splitting them up, because this ain't working anymore. They have gone to the well too much, but you have Alex Shelley getting the tag and making Grayson Waller eat some double boots on this, and then the skull and crossbones for the win. Really good in the ring. Nobody gave a crap about this match. Yeah. Like, I felt so bad that the live crowd was not into it. And it's because they just keep going to the same well with A-Town Down Under, and they don't change anything up about it. It is actively holding both of them back, but especially Grayson Waller, which sucks. They've got to start freshening things up for them, because both of them are very talented. Grayson Waller, I think, is a little bit more complete of a wrestler than maybe Austin Theory is, and that he's a really good promo. He can work great in a tag team. He can work great on his own. They really got to figure out what to do with them, because this the crowd was zapped for. And I was like, I am watching very good wrestling right now.
Sure.
And I'm detached from it, because there's nothing for me to sink my teeth into on this. But what did you think of this match? And are you on the same page with me as far as A-Town Down Under goes?
Maybe. No, just kidding. Yeah. Have I not been harping and screaming into the void for the last betterment of 2 years now with these two about what are we doing and why can't we just split them? Like, just utilize them. I understand that it's not that simple, because now you're taking producers and having to come up with storylines for two separate people, as opposed to just putting them together and letting them go out there and say, go get
what beat
up.
What did we just say about heels in the world title picture?
Right.
They could be making Grayson Waller a star right now.
Right. But there wouldn't be any direction, unfortunately. So it felt like the crowd was sitting on their hands a lot of the time during this match. And I don't think there's going to be a change anytime soon. I don't think until maybe we have until we have another draft, that's when
very
you
possible.
Might see them. Yeah,
very
I think
possible.
That will be the time that you'll see them split up, unfortunately. Not anytime soon, but whenever they decide to go that way, you can grab that, stick it into your betonline.us account and
put it on the odds
make
for
a
that.
Lot of money, baby.
That's right.
Split it with
that
me.
That is right. Guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We've got the two most noteworthy things probably on the show to talk about left. We kind of covered this one up front with Nick Aldis unveiling this women's U.S. title in a video. He talks about the legacy of wrestling and that this belt is essentially a way to carry on legacy of women's wrestling. Very well done. Very well produced. Feels like this should have been a live segment with more fanfare than it got, for sure. But it was nice to not have Triple H come out and the women's title being unveiled being about his entrance. Like, that was a refreshing right. change. But get some women in these presentations for women's titles, man. But we kind of talked about this. If there's anything that you want to add, we talked a lot about this at the top of the show.
The only thing I would like to clarify is, you know, This is a separate title away from there has been a couple questions about it, away from the Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank is specifically just for the women's world title or whichever they decide to go after. It would be cool if you could actually cash in that and go for any woman's title.
Were we
cool.
not just talking about Austin Theory, who cashed yeah. in for the U.S. title?
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid when they do it, so they shouldn't. But I think what they're doing there is creatively saying, no, Tiffany Stratton can't just cash in her
Correct.
Title and
right.
win it.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Right,
I
right,
get
yeah. Yeah, so we will, so, you know, I think her goal right now would be, is going to be for the new year to be the champion and the face of WWE going forward. So maybe, perhaps, I know we saw Austin do it. Maybe next year they can do something like that, because now sure. you have more titles for the women, right? So that could also
just,
be in play.
You know, I'm begging them to do this on the AEW side too. Just tournaments on AEW, do a women's casino gauntlet.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Battle Royals, like those kind of bigger matches to freshen up those pictures is something that could be good. We just saw that 4-pack on Raw. But yes, when you have another title, you can build up contenders and more grandiose ways, for sure. Well, we're coming down the home stretch to our main event here. It is Bloodline related. I know you're shocked, but
I would have never guessed it.
We have Solo Sikoa. Like, them just building a 20-minute talking segment to build to more talking is a pet peeve of mine. So some people really love it. It obviously works. They know better than I do, but man. You have Solo coming out saying, acknowledge me, I'm in my undisputed era, right? That's all. He's in his undisputed era. Roman Reigns comes out and says, no, acknowledge me. I want to go one-on-one with the tribal chief to prove that I'm the tribal chief. And Solo says he's already the undisputed tribal chief. Why would he agree to that? Which I like. I like that Solo Sikoa was like, yeah, no, I don't really have to prove that to you so much.
Yeah.
But he says to Roman Reigns, you can't even find people to team up with to go to war. Huh? In the most heavy-handed way possible, hinting at that, to go to war. Like war games, and Roman Reigns just takes all the mystery out of it. God bless him, and says, "You mean like war games?"
I thought he meant War Raiders at first. Like, oh, they're bringing them over to.
That would be sick. I would love to see them team with the War Raiders. But
we can say war now.
We can say war now. We can. They're the War Raiders, and not the Viking Raiders. So
making sure.
But you have Sami Zayn coming out here because Solo Sikoa. Is challenged by Roman Reigns, who says, you've got four guys. Where's your fifth? And he was like, one, two, three, four. Oh, Sami Zayn is our fifth. He comes out. He joins the new bloodline. Solo Sikoa fully believes this. He says, oh, you thought Sami Zayn hitting you at Crown Jewel was an accident? No way, my friend. And then Sami Zayn turns on Solo Sikoa. Him and Roman exchange a very dramatic look. They throw up the ones. Everybody seems to be on the same page by the end of this. I'm still stewing that Kevin Owens did not call Sammy a sucker for this. They cannot be sharing a backstage, have the bloodline there, and not acknowledge each other. Like, that can't happen. But a swerve and then a swerve right back, Alex. As we're closing out here, we are going to pull on Alex Pulowski, who is
And I swerve when I drive.
We gotta be safe, man. We gotta be safe.
Very safe.
But we'll start with Cardoza here on our main event. What did you think of how we ended the show tonight?
Very bookendish. I haven't said that in a while. I haven't felt like we have been bookending SmackDown for quite some episodes, and here we are again. We could have handled this in the beginning of the show and then given more time to the women.
Yeah.
To the women, give me more women on TV fighting each other and beating each other up. You know, yeah. So outside of that, I'm just like, why? Like, they've dedicated so much time to just the bloodline in the last 4 years. We don't need to We don't need to see everything play out by the second. It's okay to just say, here. This is what I meant when I said earlier, and I'm sorry, Alex, I'll let you go now, is when I said I felt insulted a little bit.
Yeah.
And because you're writing for me like if I'm some super duper duper casual who doesn't really watch. I love your product, and I can keep up with it if you just tell me that they want to fight each other. I'll be like, cool.
There you go. Pulowski. You're here for this hour, Fowler. I specifically messaged you to go to light because I had so many negative things on the show. Even the good things, I was like, but there's this other part. We have you here for a reason, man.
I honestly can't believe that you're even doing a regular show. When tonight, on tonight of all nights, when Kevin Owens hit a move on Randy Orton.
No boy.
That I have seen Dax Harwood use as a transitional move in literally every one of his singles matches. I have seen Daniel Garcia hit that move on somebody during a commercial for Dynamite that ran during Rampage tonight. They used it in a commercial. That's how dastardly that move is. Okay, won't somebody please think of the children? There are children watching Kevin Owens. How dare you hit a regular transitional ass move on Randy Orton and then have them strap him to a backboard but not strap his arms down?
Yeah.
And then put him on a gurney and then have poor, forlorn, concerned Cody Rhodes ride with him to the local medical facility. Michael Cole was almost as upset as I am right now being sarcastic about it. But he was being absolutely true about it.
He was apoplectic. He was apoplectic. But Alex, I'm actually really glad you said that because I actually had another ad read before we closed the show, and I didn't know what to do. But I think what we need to do is take a moment of silence for the violence that we saw tonight. And I want it to disappear, like I want my threats to internet connections to disappear.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits. But if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc., and you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN giving us the break that we need to recover from the violence of one move. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, Alex, but I think it's because Randy Orton has a compromised back. Did you know that he has a compromised back?
A compromised lower back, yeah.
Which yeah.
is not the same thing. That man's entire upper torso is just a mass of twitching trapezius muscle. I don't feel like a pile driver is going to do a lot to him, but
he does seem rather fortified from this area. You know,
but whatever. What I wanted to touch on this, the way you were saying how much time has been spent with the bloodline over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it just keeps going and going and going with no end in sight.
Energizer bunnied is where
it
we're
does
at.
Remind yeah. me. It reminds me of the meme that I really love. Of you see, there's one photo of a mother happily playing with her child in a pool, and the child with water wings is jumping off the edge. She's gonna catch him, and there's a child behind her drowning. And then there's a separate picture of a skeleton at the bottom of the ocean. And so the happy child playing with his mother, that's the bloodline. And then your mileage may vary. Is it the United States title scene that's the drowning child, or is it the skeleton at the bottom of the ocean? Or is it the women? Is it it varies from week to week. All I'm saying is everything else on the show is actively drowning or is already dead at the bottom of the ocean. But the bloodline is happy playing with its mommy, and its mommy is Triple H. So I want you to now picture that woman in the little one piece as Triple H's face. Just picture that within your mind, get it set, and now try to sleep tonight. So,
well, thank you for the new set of nightmares.
Yeah.
That I try to avoid by not watching horror movies. So thanks
you
for.
You should watch more.
I can watch zero horror movies, and that it's just it's not a positive experience. But any positive things about Rampage you want to talk about? We got people in the chat saying that my cheetah print looks like I'm joining the Vendetta. I will say I'm a Jersey, and Ziana's a Jersey girl, so there is a Jersey connection with the cheetah print.
They did a vid tonight saying they are taking applications for new clients, people to join their so. So you got to do is do your Jersey girl accent.
I could totally join the Vendetta.
Yes, you could. For sure.
I sounded like all my aunts just now.
beyond that, Leo Rush and Commander appear to be having a series now because they, because Commander beat Rush in a really great match last week. Leo Rush beat him tonight, spoiler alert, but it's fantastic. It's a great, great match. And so now they, I smell a trilogy, says Excalibur. Yes, I also smell a trilogy.
What does trilogy smell like?
Well, at this time of year, pumpkin spice.
Oh, how lovely. Tom LaValle saying, Alex, thank you for your service in Clavicle. Yes, Veterans Day is next week, but because we don't get to acknowledge that online, we acknowledge Alex and all of our veterans around these parts today. But
yeah,
there
you go. Mine smells like peppermint mocha because they just came out.
I know we are transitioning now into other white girls.
My white girlness is so happy right now.
Well, that about wraps it up here. Not our favorite episode necessarily, but some good stuff. The women's title.
It is everyone's favorite episode because they were here with us.
Yeah. Kate. You know what? Honestly, know how I feel worse about? The worst about for everybody is all the guys who spent all that time hanging a disco ball, the world's biggest disco ball from the rafters of that arena, only for it to come down and be brought back up and for the match to take 35 seconds.
It was so short.
A lot of wasted energy in that particular task. But
It was beautiful, though. It was beautiful. It was just a glimpse, but it was gorgeous. But we are going to wrap it up here for your Friday night SmackDown post show. But before we do, I'm going to let my Alex's plug some stuff. I've got some stuff to plug. Alex, I got asked on Blue Sky today when we're going to be doing our next Is the Cinema. So we'll have to square up a movie and a date for that. But that's a Fightful Select series that you can check out where we watch movies that wrestlers were in and we determine whether or not it is in fact cinema. But anything else you want to plug?
We'll be doing that. I'm hoping to do it next week if we can find a time to do that. It won't be on Veterans Day, but in honor of veterans everywhere, I was thinking we might do The Marine 3 starring the Marine.
It's like a great way to insult our veterans.
I'll give you a pass, man. That's a pass.
But you can find me less and less on the Elon Musk app. And more on Blue Sky and Threads at Alex Sour Graps, the same place that I was over on formerly Twitter. Then also you can find me doing a lot of stuff over on Fightful Select. We did last night, we did a kind of impromptu because we didn't get to review Dynamite on Wednesday. So we reviewed it last night. Had a lot of fun talking about Dynamite and also dogs.
And also dogs and my new dishwasher.
And your new dishwasher. We talked about dishwashing habits and things like that. So that was
we got you covered on the important stuff on FightfulSelect.com. But yeah, we doing a lot of stuff back there. Alex and I also have your alternative reviews to what's on the main channel for post shows and PLEs, and Lord knows we got a few of those coming up. But Mr. Cardoza, sir.
Hey, that would be like high.
Plug? Yeah.
First of all, thank you for the veteran wishes. You guys are the best, the greatest. It's a very important day for a lot of us out there. Secondly, make sure it's the holiday season, baby. You guys already saw me. I'm drinking my extremely hot, delicious, peppermint mocha with almond milk. Make sure you guys go get yourselves a cup of that. And while you're drinking it,
head over to that plugging one. Starbucks. I'm like, no, plug your stuff.
I said peppermint mocha because hey,
you can get that from anywhere. Really,
from anywhere. Yeah,
yeah.
Duncan had it last week. Anyway,
I think you need your own line of coffee, like Prince Nana.
I do.
You need your own line of peppermint mocha coffee.
So I do. I need clavicle coffee like ASAP.
No, that's a clavicle coffee. That's money written all over it, man. Are you kidding me?
Yes, get your clavs.
The only thing hotter than this coffee is this clavicle.
This run right here. Always the left one.
There you go.
But you guys can head over to thatwaspprettyjolly.com where you can follow along and subscribe to That Was Pretty Jolly on any podcast platform or even on our YouTube channel. And you can listen along to some of these amazing film reviews that we're doing. Any kind of film reviews. We're just sitting around at a round table and talking about Christmas films, something that I'm really passionate about and love. And in the next couple of weeks, I have a very, very special interview with a very special person with a very special episode that'll be coming out You might want to keep your eye on that. So make sure you follow me on Threads and Instagram, which is Alexis Cardoza. Hopefully we'll get rid of this little bird thing because I don't want to use it anymore. Mm. As much I'm in there now, friends, and I'll tell you what, I am going to be a pain in the ass in that app. That's all I want to be. But you can find me on Blue Sky and everywhere else. But in there specifically, I will not let my part of democracy die. So anyway, there you go.
You can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can head over to YouTube and subscribe to my channel if you haven't already. I just kind of dusted it off. I'm back making content over there. I released 2 videos this week. Both of them are 5 things to do with WWE and AEW and improvements that I think they could make company-wide rather than creative or on-screen product. You guys showed out for the first one. It has 2,300 views. We couldn't even go to the old ECW arena because you guys sold it out. That's how many views it has. So thank you so much. Over 1,000 on that second one that was just released yesterday. So the support has been overwhelming. I appreciate it. I picked up like 400 subscribers too. You guys have been unreal. So check that out. I have a really fun video coming out next week where I had done a thread a while ago of fictional settings for wrestling shows that you guys wanted to see. And I'm going to run through some of your responses because they were so funny. But I have a series called You Tell Me, which is going to be completely interactive. I'm putting questions out there, making videos with your responses. So the first one of those going up next week. Subscribe now to stay tuned because I always think I can schedule it and then there's way more work to do. So I'm still finding my rhythm, but subscribe and you'll know when it's coming out. We are going to get out of here, but have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys. Bye.